but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Well, we've got John Platts, who you can hear on the Stanford basketball and Stanford football broadcast, former Stanford athlete himself, author and historian and resident expert right there on the Stanford campus. John Platts joining us. It is a big week because the big game is taking place. Cal, Stanford should be a good one. Platts, what's the atmosphere around the campus?
Well, first of all, good to talk to you, John. Thanks for checking in with your roots here in the Bay Area. 128th big game coming up on Saturday. It's the 43rd anniversary of the play, November 20th, 1982. Not that I'm bitter or anything, but I was at the game. And you do, you know, they bring it up on local radio here, and otherwise I probably wouldn't have remembered it. But no, it's Stanford Cal, and it's still going strong. I think it helps, John, that the two schools are still in the same conference. Look, we all miss the fact that it's not a Pac-12 game, but it's still, you know, the blue and the gold and the cardinal and the white going at it on Sunday.
The Stanford program is kind of in a transitional period. Andrew Luck coming into the fold. He brought his old coach that he trusts, Frank Reich, into the mix as well. How has the Reich era this season been to observe?
He's been terrific, John. I mean, it's been good for me to get exposure to a former NFL coach and a high-level one, right? He was the offensive coordinator of that Eagles team that won the Super Bowl, I want to say, in 2016, 2017, in that period, and, of course, was the Colts head coach and the Panthers head coach and got spit out by the NFL, even though he was .500 for his career. It's just that's how tough it is in the NFL. Now, Johnny's a football guy, but I think he's been energized by the experience. I think at first he just said yes to Andrew because of their really good relationship and sort of concluded, well, I'll figure it out as I go. My family's on the East Coast in the Carolinas, but I'll come out West and I'll figure this thing out. And I think he's been energized by the Stanford kids. You know, he's running NFL offense, and, you know, the ACC is a grind, particularly defensive lines, the last month for Stanford. And I think Stanford stumbled in that opener against Hawaii. Otherwise, the talk with Stanford would be that this game, or Stanford might have been playing for a bowl game here in November. Of course, they're not now with only three wins. But Frank has been good. I think he's enjoyed it. I think he's been kind of pleasantly surprised by the Stanford kids. It's not really a portal group. I mean, there's 17 transfers, but it's not, you know, 30 or 40 like some other schools have. So I think it's been good all the way around. Frank's just coached the team. Andrew's handled the recruiting.
The Andrew Luck involvement, do you expect it to continue? It looks to me like he's having fun. He's out trying to sell season tickets. He's talking to fans and recruits. He seems like he's rolled his sleeves up.
John, you're underselling it. He loves his job. I mean, I think he's enjoying it more than even he envisioned. This was not part of his plan. He and his wife, he'd come back to the Bay Area to do graduate school, John, at the School of Education, just because he thought he wanted to get into teaching or coaching or nonprofit work. And this sort of came up about this time last year. And Andrew, you know, is a loyal soldier. He, you know, didn't like what was going on with the program, the successive three-win seasons. And, you know, he said yes to President John Levin's call. And, you know, Johnny's everywhere. I mean, he's on the field during practice. He's energized with recruits. Yes, he does donor stuff. Yes, he's boning up on the NIL. Stanford's added in the athletic department Shane Scobe, John. I know you know the name, the defensive player that broke a heart or two at the University of Oregon in the early 2010s. Scobe worked at McKinsey for a half dozen years, and now he's in the athletic department, I think, to help with NIL stuff. So some of the old crew is back, but Andrew is at the center of it, and he is, you can see in his eyes, Sean, he is enthused by this, and he's determined to fix Stanford football. Now, it's going to be challenging. It's not a sure thing, not at all, but if there's a guy to do it, it's Andrew Luck, and again, he just, I've been surprised by how much he loves the work.
I am talking with John Platts, Stanford Radio, basketball and football, former Stanford athlete, author of 100 years of Stanford history, and certainly a guy interested in the big game as Stanford and Cal will play this weekend. Andrew Luck, if he calls me and I'm a if I'm a Stanford fan, my phone rings and it's Andrew Luck asking me to buy season tickets. I'm buying season tickets. Like, the fact that he's willing to pick up the phone and do that kind of stuff is incredible.
Well, he's not a big-time guy, John, not at all. I mean, you're right. He did that with season ticket holders whom he didn't know, just people who were on the list, because he wants to see the crowds at Stanford Stadium come back up. I mean, winning will help with that as well. But, I mean, Andrew is all in. John, he identifies personally with the role. I mean, that helps in any job, right, when you just feel like this job is me, and every facet of this job is Andrew. I mean, he was into his studies. He was an architecture major. So he sort of gets the whole Stanford thing and has an eye for who could coach them, John, and the student athletes that would fit, right? Not everybody fits. But, you know, the guy who wants to get the top dollar or play at three different schools, that's not the Stanford model, and that's not what the administrators or the alumni want, and Andrew is on board with that. So, he'll dust the floor, John. I mean, he's all about turning this thing around, and whatever the task requires, he's going to do it.
John, the football itself, this is, we watched Ben Gulbranson at Oregon State. We've seen him a little bit at Stanford. The offense seems like it has struggled at times to generate yards and points. Where are they at right now with playing maybe their best football of the season, or at what point was Stanford playing its best football?
Well, it's an interesting question. It's sort of oscillated between offense and defense, John. You can appreciate this. The ACC schedule, you're playing seven other teams, and there's a whole bunch of teams you're not playing. Last year, it seemed like Stanford faced all the great quarterback teams big margin losses. This year, Stanford's played teams, John, that had great, great defensive lines in front seven. I mean, Bill Belichick, the most recent game for Stanford 2 weeks ago at North Carolina, they got some kid from Delaware that was a sack machine. I mean, Elijah Brown, who's the new quarterback for Stanford, Frank Reich having made a switch from Ben Gulbranson to Elijah Brown, who's a sophomore. Well, Elijah Brown was sacked nine times in the game against North Carolina 2 weeks ago. And the whole month, John, has been sort of Stanford pockets collapsing and quarterbacks trying to escape, really good pass rush. So, I think right now the defense actually has surprised to the upside. Statistically, into my eyes, the offense has struggled. But I think the good news for Stanford fans is, this week you're not playing Miami. You're not playing SMU. You're not playing that Pitt team of Pat Narduzzi that has all those creative blitzes. You're playing Cal, and that's a Justin Wilcox coach team, which is sound, but they don't have the NIL stars, particularly on the defensive line, that Stanford has faced in the last month.
The Belichick thing, how weird was that to look down in a game where your team's playing and Bill Belichick is on the sideline?
Well, yeah, I have to admit, my eyes don't always lock on to the opposing coach because it's just, another person across the sideline. But if it's Belichick, you find your eyes looking there. He's got a couple former players and NFL guys on the staff. Jimmy Collins, a linebacker, is a linebacker coach. And Andrew does a pregame show with us, and we were talking about that and the staff that Belichick has put together. But I mean, John, it's not easy. I mean, Belichick, they got beat by Wake Forest last week, and I think they're 4-6, I want to say. They could be 5-5, but yeah. It's been tough for the ball coach.
I am looking at Cal. They are, having kind of a decent season, a little up and down, but decent. They got the win over Louisville a couple weeks ago. They have to feel good about that. What would beating Cal mean for the Stanford program this season?
Be enormous. It would be enormous. Beating Cal is a goal, a big goal. It sounds hokey, but it really is kind of imbued in all the guys. And again, Andrew's part of that too. He's all on board with the rivalry game. And John, it goes back to 1892, so it does have some meaning. But also, John, I mean, Stanford is sitting at 3-7. Stanford has been 3-9 the last 4 years. So just getting to that fourth game, that fourth W, is tangible. Is a tangible sign of progress, and it's a winnable game. I mean, you can lots of ways to analyze it. And JKS, the quarterback for Cal, he's great, as you and I have sort of communicated previously, and so that's good. It's going to be tough, but Stanford brings some things to the game, and I do think being battle tested these last 4 weeks or 4 or 5 weeks, particularly on the road, and getting some guys back is going to make Stanford a pretty competitive foe for the Golden Bears at Stanford Stadium on Saturday.
I am interested too in kind of the future of Stanford. You know, a $50 million donation coming into the athletic department, that helps. You know, it seems like as though there are some people in that Stanford community who really get that, like, hey, there are some disadvantages here with the portal and NIL that Stanford's got to shore up. How are you feeling kind of about the momentum right now and that donation? How loud was that in your world?
Well, it's loud in anybody's world, John. I mean, that $50 million is a lot for a college football program. I mean, Brad Freeman, the donor from the Los Angeles area, former Stanford player in the early 60s, he's been connected with the program and philanthropy, you know, going back several years. But look, John, it helps. I think, you know, you look at Stanford, and I think, John, you know this, having been raised and worked in the Bay Area, Jim Plunkett is as much a front porch person for Stanford as anybody. I mean, he and Condoleezza Rice probably are the two most recognizable, the two most active in on campus and even off campus official events, fundraising, what have you. So football has always been a big deal, John. The first year the university was founded, football was a big deal. I mean, the administrators prioritized it, and you know, Walter Camp coached at Stanford in the 1890s and Pop Warner in the 1920s. And it's just been, you know, up and down, John. The peaks have been pretty darn high. And a lot of people, and not just football players, John, don't want to see football, you know, relegated, becoming, you know, in a worst case, Division III or something. Remember, Jay Berwanger won a Heisman for the University of Chicago, and that's now a Division III school. So, you know, I think the administration has gotten the message that football is a big thing for sort of Stanford's brand, not necessarily that you have to win national championships and there's going to be turnover if nothing happens, but to have it be prominent, to be able to play competitively with the big boys and have football be relevant and out front at Stanford is front and center. And again, that's why Andrew Luck is the perfect human being on this planet to be trying to resuscitate the program and the brand.
John Platt's with us, Stanford football. I'm excited about the big game. You know, what has to go right for Stanford to win and upset Cal?
Well, I think the way I look at it, John, I mean, JKS, right? Jaron Chiave Songo-Politele. I mean, he's a future NFL player, maybe a future Heisman Trophy winner, but he's not the most mobile guy in the world. I think Stanford's defensive line, which is the oldest position group on the team, and they have some solid players, not superstars, but they got some solid players. If Stanford can get after Songo-Politele or get him off the spot, John, make him throw on the run. Duke sacked JKS six times in a game in Berkeley that I happened to go to. Stanford had a bye that week, John, and Duke won by, I want to say, 20 points in the game. So I think the key for Stanford is making Songo-Politele uncomfortable. Get him off the spot, make him, you know, rush throws. Maybe you get a turnover or two, because the young man can be prone to that if he's, I think, pressured. So I think pressuring Songo-Politele to the extent Stanford can is a big deal. On the Stanford side, John, it's run the football. Stanford has a couple of effective backs. The stats don't show it, and again, it's partly because Stanford has been running into buzzsaws like that Miami defensive line that has a couple of NFL first, second day guys. But Micah Ford and Cole Tabb each average over 4 yards per carry. Cal doesn't have the defensive line that Stanford has, the type of defensive line Stanford has seen the last 4 or 5 weeks. So I think Stanford can run the ball some against Cal. So I think those are for the Stanford side, running the football and getting after Songo-Politele and make him a little less efficient and maybe make it produce a turnover or two. Those are the keys for the Cardinal.
John Platts, Stanford, I appreciate you joining us, JP. Thank you, man.
Thanks, John. Enjoy listening to the show as always.
All right, there he goes. Big game taking place on Saturday. Stanford-Cal on the ACC Network. That'll never feel right. Stick around. Our Big Splash coming up.